Thank you. Thank you for coming. This research has been conducted at University of Florida at the Forest Breeding and Genomic Program under Dr. Patricio Munoz. I thank all the co-authors. Forest breeding is conducted on the restricted amount of fertilization to produce efficient cultivars. But in dairy cattle operations, they produce a lot of manure that they need to dispose. And they do this to use it as a fertilizer and at the same time as a way to dispose the manure. But the amount of manure that they can dispose control the amount of cows that they can milk. So, and this also is in time control for the national management plan. So there is a need, and that's the objective of this research, to develop a Bermuda cultivar with high nutrient uptake and high forage production. We have been doing this, conducting three experiments, two in the field, one in the greenhouse. The first one in the field composed of two core collections, one coming from the USDA Griffin in Georgia, and the second one from Tifton, Georgia, using three controls, and have been planted in two places, one in Florida, one in Georgia, with two repetitions. We have been measuring yield and nitrogen content. And from this first experiment, we identified seven candidates, all with high yield. But four of those produce bigger amount of nitrogen per biomass unit than the control T85. And three of those use below Tifton 85. So with that, we set the second experiment in the greenhouse, planting all the genotypes in these PVC tubes using three nitrogen levels. One 100, four times and eight times that level. We were starting roof and two trays. We identify and bear me with the graphic in the arrow that I had there. I don't know how to point it out.
This right there.
Okay, this arrow. That's the two dry matter. And if you go down here, it's not going. Here, the bigger circle here shows you what is the correlation of the two dry matter with the root trace. So those were root volume, root density, and root length. So with this information, we enter all this and perform principal component analysis for root and two trays. And here is when we start confirming and seeing interesting results. In that graphic, the red is representing the 100 level nitrogen, the green the 400, and the blue the 800. We identified two components. Okay. So we would use four levels of nitrogen, the standard, half of the standard, twice the standard, and six times of the standard. And in that graphic, I wanted to show several things. One very important is that several of these candidates are producing higher yield than any of the crop controls. One of the entries is responding more yield as more nitrogen. And one very interesting is one that has even higher amount than any other with half of the nitrogen that is demanded, keep increasing with more nitrogen although it gets to a plateau. So, but for the conclusion, we can say for the first experiment, we found a lot of variability for even more traits that we are measuring, which sets a basis for a good breeding program. Second, that the candidates show different responses to fertilization, and there are several candidates that in the future the dairy cattle people can use and can apply more manure and still keep high yields, which was the objective. Thank you very much. Okay.
Any questions for Yolanda?
I would say for grazing. She's asking that the entries that we are evaluating are going to be for graze or for hay. I would say for both could be. Both could be. I saw it last week for the next harvest next week, and they are huge. Very nice. One thing that we are doing is the last harvest. We are going to do it late in November, because we are identifying, you know, we are mentioning many other trades. We are identifying some that hold very the coal, even now in November and in February and March. So we are interested in those.
Mm-hmm. I've got a question. If you select genotypes that take up more nitrogen, do they have a higher water requirement? Because it takes water to diffuse that nitrogen to the plant.
That could be true. I don't have the answer. Okay, that could be true, and I don't have the answer. But we have been treating everybody the same.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Excellent.
Thank you.
Okay. Now we can field questions for any of the papers presented in this session. Does anybody have a question for any particular authors or paper numbers that you want to discuss further? It's been a long day. Yes, right here. And which paper are you asking about?
Yeah. You said that you had the recommendation for to use different cultivars for each location to estimate for breeding. But the question is that if we have the capacity of even companies that they can do or develop some cultivars or varieties for each individual location in US or other different places in the world, is it possible to do that in the real situation?
So the question is about breeding cultivars for each location. So I guess that's something that happens the same thing for yield, right? I'm just adding another variable for the evaluation. There's yield genotype by environment interactions that show that cultivars that might yield high in one location might not yield high in the other. So I guess I don't know how to breed for that, but it would be the same way for resilience. So I'm just saying that we should add another variable like resilience to the evaluations. I don't know if that makes sense.
Thank you. I just want to congratulate Valentin for having the word resilience in his title, same word that's in the title of the whole conference. So thank you very much. I think we're going to close it right there for the discussion, and I thank you very much for coming.